If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beets Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beets chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beets chews at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
All of you need to answer this.
Why is the federal
government? What is going on? And you're not working with the Trump
because the audio wasn't, I don't know, you guys are going to have to set it up, because that was Mike Pence. Can we actually, Kane, will you get me full audio, or I'll play it from the computer so you can actually, guys, figure out what the hell's going on? Because Mike Pence was speaking yesterday, and the press went crazy. They went absolutely crazy. Listen to this. As soon as you can get it up. Okay, well, I'll mime it for you. So Mike Pence, I'll pull it up and play it off the computer here in a little bit. So Mike Pence was speaking yesterday. You kind of need that setup so you can understand what's happening. Why are people yelling? Well, it's because they had the coronavirus task force press conference. And then after they spoke and the vice president was introducing people, et cetera, et cetera. Then he walked off. And so did other members of the coronavirus task force. And the press was angry because he wasn't taking questions. You can hear him speak, and then he's saying, well, and then just going through the major issues with the vaccines, and walks off the stage. And the press, if you close your eyes, they were indistinguishable from an Antifa mob. I mean, absolutely indistinguishable. Let me know when you have it. There's more. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. And here is, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you right off the bat where you can find me. Oh, I am. We don't have that either. All right, let's just go. Let's just go and everything else. Hi, guys. Online.
Find all things Dana at danalash.com. At Dana Lash on Parler, at DLash on Twitter and Instagram. Stream The Dana Show live on Facebook at Official Dana Lash, simulcast on YouTube at Dana Lash, and live via The First, Channel 244 on Pluto TV. And on a radio near you.
So I know that they're having another press briefing today, and I would imagine that they're all going to sound still indistinguishable from an Antifa rage mob. And I wrote about this on the newsletter last night because, quite honestly, I mean, it was an embarrassing display. And I watched, I think it was John Carl who was up at the, and I know John Carl, I've met him before when I've done ABC. And it just shocks me that people are so, we hear all the time that, oh, conservatives are just so wound up and wrapped up in everything that's happening with the administration and with the president. Well, you guys are, the press is so, the Fourth Estate's so wrapped up in bias. I watched one reporter like angrily jerk out his in-ear monitor and throw it on the chair. What the hell? Is this Venezuela? I mean, if you want to sit here and you want to have a conversation about, well, maybe you should answer our questions. Maybe you should report instead of advocate. Maybe don't be activists. Maybe don't attack citizen journalists when they are forced to pick up the mantle and do your job for you. That's a thought. Every time I watch this, I get mad. They didn't ask a single damn thing. They weren't talking about the vaccine rollout. Nothing of that nature. It was literally, and one of them literally shouted, "You're undermining democracy." Can he even define democracy? What a stupid outburst from a stupid member of the fake free press. You deserve no mercy, nor do you deserve courtesy. This is ridiculous. Just unbelievable. That mask slipped. Well, and I wonder how many of the reporters in that room previously took paychecks from Fusion GPS and repurposed Clinton opposition data as original reporting so that that could turn around and be used by Fusion GPS, who was working with Bruce Ohr, Nelly Ohr, DOJ, FBI, and they could do an end run around the proper legal process to obtain a FISA warrant and spy on political opponents. I wonder how many of those reporters in that room were on the dole for that. And don't even, in the drive-bys, don't even come at me because I have so many receipts. They literally had a FOIA request where they released documentation showing media entities and the reporter's name redacted. So don't. These people showed less contempt for the Obama administration. And Barack Obama and Joe Biden prosecuted or tried to. They were trying to prosecute reporters under the Espionage Act of 1917. They were trying to, the most obscure way they could go and punish journalists for reporting about what the administration was doing. They prosecuted reporters. They spied on reporters. They took the phone records of a whole handful of Associated Press journalists. These media people in this room yesterday showed less contempt for the Obama administration that tried to falsely prosecute them and jail them than they did right then for Mike Pence. And that was simply because of partisan bias. But the difference is that the previous administration were Democrats. And this whole idea, this whole phrase, undermining democracy. Look, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I believe the election was stolen or not. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to play one side or the other. You have too many damn people on cable news and too many conservatives so worried about their own asses. They're too afraid to tell you their opinion. And that's why they suck and they're regional. I don't know if it was or not. There's some fraud. We know that for sure because we got proof of it. There's video. There's documentation. We know for a fact that there was fraud. And we know for a fact that there was fraud before that. Do I know that it was stolen? I don't know. I don't know that it wasn't either. I would like to see more information come out. I want a full audit of the ballots in these six states, particularly the counties where there were a huge amount of irregularities. And I think that we, the people, are owed that because we pay for it. We pay for it. We have paid for it in more ways than one. So I don't know. I can't tell you if it was or not. I have some, we're going to talk about some stuff here later on. I know that right now is the time that everybody kind of does like knee-jerk reactions and everything else. And I'm not doing that, nor will I be pushed into it either. But what I will say is this, media doesn't help. They're not helping. And one of the reasons, in fact, maybe perhaps the reason why the American people, I have a study for you. Actually, I'm going to talk about this later on, but so I don't sidetrack myself. But there's a story that I have where you have a couple of blue checks. One was like a statistician and works with election data, and the other was this, you know, this journalist, and they were sitting here complaining about the public's distrust in not just the media entities but also pollsters. Are you kidding me? The level of a total absence of self-awareness. But that's the problem. Because see, if we had a proper watchdog for the people, we would be able to get information and we would know where we could get information and we would be able to trust the information that we're given. Here's one thing I'm not going to do to you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you something's coming down the pike when we actually don't, I don't know what the hell's coming down the pike. And I know so many damn people in Washington, D.C. I don't know that nothing is. I don't know that anything isn't. I'm not going to go one way or the other because I actually don't know. And I don't think any of us do. Do not allow yourself to be pushed, shamed, or gaslit into getting on one side or the other. Until the isn't this how we always have been? As limited government individuals and as conservatives, we like to conserve our doubt until we see enough evidence to the contrary. Correct? We like to preserve our right to make a decision or a proclamation until we have enough information to the contrary. Correct? That's how I operate, and I assume that's how all of you operate too, because that's why we are all here together, day after day, every afternoon, fellowshipping and hanging out. I see there are people fighting, I see Republicans fighting, and I want to slap physically with a closed hand every single one of them. It's infuriating. Because we got a Senate race that's going to decide everything. Once we go past that threshold of losing, we lose the Senate, and all the people who are the Statler and Waldorf sitting up in the balcony, shaking their heads at all of us, the poors. Well, look at the poors trying to analyze this. Look at the people who are trying to say this is the last exit on the highway to freedom. Well, you know what it is. And once you go past that threshold of losing the Senate, after everything that they've promised, packing the Supreme Court, jacking up taxes to over 60%, creating a gun registry, banning semi-automatic rifles that are commonly owned. Once you go past that threshold, there is no crossing back over. Not without a painful cost. I mean, maybe you can show me some other countries in the world that have done that. But I don't think they exist on this planet. There's one country, it's called Utopia, which is Latin for nothing. It doesn't exist. So, this situation with the press. If we had a press that was asking the proper questions and was more interested in obtaining answers and distributing those answers, if they were more interested in that than advocacy, that would be one thing. But they're only solely interested in advocacy. And I'm almost to the point where I'm saying this universally now. I've always been very careful not to make wide sweeping characterizations of the Fourth Estate because there are always these few. But at this point, I'm kind of like the story of Lot. So, the whole accusation of undermining democracy, I reject that with spite, and you ought to as well. Ensuring the legitimacy of every vote cast and every vote cast during the legal voting period is the literal, absolute opposite of undermining democracy. We are using a legal system provided to us by the Constitution. We are trusting our courts to make determinations where applicable. It is a feature of our system. It is not a bug. And you should be suspicious of anyone who tells you that as a voter, you lack the authority to question this system we finance with our tax dollars. We do not get our legitimacy and our agency from those we elect. They get it from us. And never forget that. We are at the top of this hierarchy. No matter how hard the Fourth Estate tries to shame you from it. Coming up, we're going to talk about the latest with the Rona lockdown. California has a new home order. And we got to have an honest talk about an election. There was a huge mistake that was made as it relates to Minnesota. And it had to do with some of the, we're going to talk about it because the guys at Powerline, and these guys are not, they're not like Never Trump guys. They're not moderates. These are the guys who brought down Dan Rather. They're incredibly intelligent, articulate attorneys who I have gone to and read their stuff for years. And they're saying that someone in the Trump legal team made a big mistake, and they did. And we got to have a talk about this. We're not the left. We address reality. So we're going to have a discussion about that. We're also going to get into the latest with some of these states. And we're going to look at Georgia, tech, all kinds of stuff. You don't want to miss a single moment of the show. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beets Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beets chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beets chews at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So at this one New York City restaurant, and this may actually be something that becomes a thing to do. This one New York City restaurant is actually making customers take a coronavirus test. That $50 coronavirus test before you can eat, and it's actually just a part of your dinner bill. It's intended to promote safe indoor dining as the weather grows colder. So when guests, when they make the reservation online, they have to put $50 down for that test. And it's $50 per person. So if you're going on a date night, that's $100 right there where you're, yeah. So you can go out and eat. So Kurt Russell, whom I love. He's one of my favorite actors. He and Denzel Washington are two of my favorite actors. And he says that, and he actually makes a great point here. He says that actors should not get political. He says because it actually hurts the craft when they get political. He was asked about this in an interview with the New York Times. He said that he's more of a court jester and he wanted to keep that image because if he becomes another talking head and he defines himself too much, it's harder for the audience to see him as the character he plays, which I agree with. I don't begrudge people having their political opinions, but I do have a problem with it making harder for me to find them believable and suspension of disbelief in a role. We have that as well. Plus, a mother demands a babysitter $650 compensation because she fed meat to her vegetarian kids. Ooh, stick with us.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And I want the American public to know right now that we will not be intimidated. American patriots are fed up with the corruption from the local level to the highest level of our government, and we are going to take this country back. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it, and we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who vote for freedom.
Ooh. All right. So that was Sidney Powell, and that was part of the press conference that was yesterday. So, well, so here's the point of the show. And we are going to make it fun here a little bit later on. We're going to make fun. Let me let you know that we're going to be able to exhale here in a minute. I know it's Fire Hose Friday. And you can tell I've been spitting mad over that Pence media thing for almost since it happened yesterday. Like I thought I almost literally got on Instagram and Facebook Live and just like went off. I almost did. Then I remembered that I had wiped off all my TV makeup on my hair. Looked like rats fought in it. So didn't do that. But every now and then we got to have these uncomfortable conversations. We got to have a gut check, right? We have to do a little and look at things honestly. Now I'm going to tell you something about me, just so you can understand my perspective. I want to make sure I love winning. I love it. It is one of my best friends winning, right? It is fun. It validates you. You feel better. You feel celebratory. But the thing that I also want to make sure, and I love this just as much, although sometimes every now and then I resent it, I'll be honest, is that I want to make sure that I'm right. Now, I'm not making a proclamation about the election or anything, but I'm telling you, I'm shaping my thinking going towards this. I want to make sure that I'm right, because that to me is more important than anything. And by right, I mean that I have my facts correct and that I know for certain that what I'm telling you, I can lay a receipt down next to it. I think that's incredibly important because I don't like leading people on and I don't tease people. In my broadcast history, I don't do that stuff. I don't go out there and I don't. People sometimes they'll say I'm a bomb thrower, but I don't get into the platitudes. I'll sit here and have an exhaustive, detailed conversation with you about why I support my position. That has nothing to do with throwing bombs. And so never be shamed into being cast as that either yourselves. I want to make sure that we have all the facts at hand. I had a conversation with somebody this week, and they asked me why I felt it was why I wanted to audit the vote, audit ballots. And honestly, it feels like we should just do it anyway. Every election, you check your work in math class. Why can't we do it with this? I'm just saying. Even if there isn't enough to affect the outcome of an election, it's still incredibly important. This individual was asking me why I wanted to audit the vote. I said, because I think it's important to make sure that we're doing this the way that we are presenting it, that we are counting legally cast ballots and that meet all of the rules that we are told, you know, years before sometimes the election. Even if it presents an outcome that I dislike. And the person looked at me and said, even if you don't like what the result is and it could mean a lot of bad policies you don't like. And I said, yes. And do you want to know why? Because sometimes when nations mess up, and again, for the drive-bys, I'm not saying that is with this election, and I'm not making a proclamation, so don't make me tell you to go do something unflattering to yourself. But sometimes, and this is biblical, nations need to be humbled. You know, that can also be a part of God's plan. And you should take your penalty. I do believe that. I don't like it. With the burning passion of a thousand suns, I don't like it. But that's why I feel that way. Because I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth so that if something is seriously messed up in the psyche of Americans, we can correct it. We can meet it. We can persuade people. That's, you can figure it out. When I'm faced with a difficult situation, I want to immediately know what's the problem and let's figure out the solution. I don't want no drama. I don't want anything else. I become like obsessively focused. And so that's how I approach this. Now, the press conference yesterday was Sidney Powell. I don't know Sidney Powell. I know we follow each other on social media, and I don't have anything negative to say about her. I also know that part of the legal world is theatrics, too. I mean, really, especially when you know, she was a prosecutor, became a defense attorney. She worked with General Mike Flynn. And these were some serious accusations that she made. And I know that some are saying, well, this is just kind of, you know, like a tease, and then everything else will be, you know, put in court. They don't want to telegraph where they're going. Well, they kind of did already, though. I mean, if you make an accusation that is specific as what they're saying, if you don't want to give out too much information because you don't want it to affect your case, well, then you wouldn't say anything at all, at least that specific. You would just wait until you walk into court and put the evidence out. Now, the reason I bring this up is because there were a couple of different stories that I read where the campaign was, and I don't know what, and this was a person from the campaign that apparently told a friend of mine who works in media, saying that they weren't aware of what Powell had, and I don't know how closely Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell, I don't know what's going on. Here's my fear. I'm worried that there might be too many cooks in the kitchen and not a cohesive enough strategy, just to be frank about it. That's one of the worries that I had, I guess, around September. You remember me talking about this going up into the election? This can kind of happen sometimes. And especially when you're trying to get as many good people as you can around you. One of the reasons that you have good people, and one of the reasons those people are good, is because they're very driven in what they do. And a lot of times they're used to either working as, you know, the lead or independently. And just another thing, conservatives do not work as well together as progressives do. This is God's honest truth. And that's because we're wired differently. We are a lot more independent in that regard. So there's a lot of things factoring into this. Now, here's the question that I have. Because I understand what Jenna Ellis was saying yesterday, and I thought Jenna Ellis was fantastic in that press conference yesterday. She was not emotional. She just was straight, no chaser. And I was incredibly impressed with her. I understand that they're giving an overview of what they want to present in court. But I also know that there have been... Now, be very careful when you read phrases in media like, oh, they've been dismissed from a number of courtrooms. There are, in some states, in certain courtrooms, there might be multiple suits in one area. So I think that's a bit of an unfair characterization that even some on the conservative media is making. But here's the question that I have. If there was funding coming from Venezuela and China, wouldn't we have agencies that, and I'm asking this genuinely, wouldn't we have agencies that would pick that up? Would we not? How do you miss something like that? And here's what, now be careful how you answer that, because you're going to get yourself into a rhetorical bind. And here's what I mean. If you tell me, well, this was because they were Obama's agencies, and Obama's agencies were staffed with a bunch of, you know, progressive goons. Okay, well, you just walked yourself into a rhetorical twist there. Because what you just argued that POTUS failed to rectify it and didn't pay attention, and then progressives will say he's incompetent. Can you tell that I was overanalyzing everything? Now, there was one affidavit that was presented yesterday. Rudy had that one, Rudy Giuliani. I understand that this is an overview and you're going to go into court. Here's my other concern. This is what leads me to the next one. We are walking into, guys, it is, Georgia's it. I don't need to yell at you Alex Jones style. I don't need to do any other dramatic stuff. It is what it is. Georgia's it. Everything's on the line. I've told you what's going to happen. I've given you just five things in depth what'll happen if Democrats take the Senate. I want to make sure that we do not find ourselves in a situation where we have too many cooks in the kitchen. And I don't want to find us in the situation where anyone is overpromising anything, because what that will do is rile up a lot of voters only to feel let down right before an election. And what do voters do when they feel let down and at odds with the entity or people or person that represents their base? They don't show up. Now you see my concern. I think you got to walk a fine line on this one. And the Powell, one of the things she said yesterday was, and this is a quote, we have no idea how many Republican or Democratic candidates pay to have the system rigged to work for them. I want Republican candidates. Now, these are accusations. There's no evidence for this yet that we have seen. And I don't know if the Trump campaign has seen all of it. So that's a pretty big accusation. So I'm just saying, I want to make sure we don't have too many cooks in the kitchen that, and anybody's overpromising anything. Because that, we've had so much amazing momentum in these past 4 years and have created such an amazing big tent. You don't need to encourage people with anything other than the accomplishments of the past 4 years. People are going to be excited to pay less tax, right? They're going to be excited not to have gun control. They will turn up. Trust your voters. And so one of the things we're going to talk about here coming up is I want to go through some of these states. And I want to look at what's been happening and what's not been happening and what would need to happen. And then as to the Sidney Powell point, there are a few people that are going after Tucker Carlson now because he was kind of saying something similar to what I've been saying. And he had invited her on his show. She went on Maria Bartiromo's show. I know Maria too. Maria's wonderful. And I've known Tucker for years as well. We've done primary and caucus coverage together in 2016 throughout that whole season and election night coverage. And, you know, I've always respected Tucker and I have a good opinion of him. And he's not for the people. I think it is. And I defend my friends. I am not loyal to politicians or government agencies, family, and, you know, obviously my principals and my friends, I am. And it is neither fair nor is, honestly, it is a conservative tactic to say that he's towing the company line, because he's not. This is the one time he's actually said anything that could remotely be viewed as Fox's quote unquote new company line. And I think that's an unfair characterization. So we are going to talk about what we need to do here, though. And we're going to get into we're going to look at the latest in Georgia. And we're also going to talk about why in the hell Crate and Barrel is selling a stick on rope for $100 and calling it a Christmas decoration, because I can't anymore, guys. You know what rustic is? Rustic is I can't craft, so this is crap. That's what rustic is. That's what it means. If you're a regular listener, then you've been hearing me talk about Kel-Tec and all the reasons why they're one of my personal favorites when it comes to firearms. Privately owned family company Kel-Tec has been making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms since 1995. Driven by creativity, Kel-Tec does not simply copy other weapons on the market. They innovate new firearms, including the new Sub-CQB. This folding suppressed rifle is bred for home defense. It also looks cool. And also new is the Kel-Tec RDB Defender with its patented downward shell ejection system. Both weapons are lightweight, easy to handle, and proudly made right here in America by dedicated employees who strive daily to find better ways to produce efficiently with quality, reliability, and affordability in mind. To find out more about the Sub-CQB, the RDB Defender, and all other Kel-Tec firearms and products, check out KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. KelTecWeapons.com. Kel-Tec, creating innovative quality firearms to help secure your world.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
danalash.com. Get that subscription, though. Can we have an honest conversation? And I'm going to probably talk more about this coming up, but can we talk about the stick on a rope, that Crate and Barrel? This went around on Facebook and everywhere else yesterday. This is a real product, though. Like, you can go to Crate and Barrel's website and put it in your cart and buy it for $99. I do not advise you doing that unless you just, you know, might as well just set your money on fire. But this was going around yesterday, where women were sending this link to their husbands. Like, what do you think of this? And then screenshotting the husband's reactions, which were ridiculous. And the guys who are like, well, happy wife, happy life. You know what? Get your beans back. If I sent this to my husband, I wouldn't even send this to my husband. If I sent this to my husband and was like, what do you think of this? He'd be like, are you crazy? What is this? This one, oh man, there was a guy, I watched one exchange. There was a woman who sent this to her husband, and he's like, what is this? This is so stupid. And he goes, you know what? I can make you five of these right now. I'll bring them home. You can hang them all over the house. And then he sent her a picture of one that he made. It was hysterical. He's on a construction site. I was rolling. It was so funny. But it's a real thing. It's a stick with some rope, and it's $99. You can actually literally purchase it. Oh, there's more stupid stuff like this in their Christmas section, too. That's just one of the dumbest ones that they have. How is this $99?
I'm not sure.
I just don't understand that. How is that a decoration? You just go in your yard and you rip some nature off and you go inside and you hang it up on this. Oh, what the string was, what did they say? It was a jute string?
Oh,
jute?
Oh, that's expensive sounding.
Jute? Really? That sounds so millennial. My son, who is Gen Z, he says that's the most millennial thing ever. Just go outside and hang some sticks up. And it's rustic. Sometimes I think rustic. There is rustic and then there's rustic. And the whole rustic, that is crap. Like when I can't decorate cakes, and a friend and I were joking about this. When we are decorating a cake and it looks crap, I'm like, it's rustic. Just go out and grab some grass or something and put it on there. Get a weed, put it on there. And all of a sudden, ta-da, it's rustic. Here's it. Put a jute string around the bottom of it. Isn't that what it is? It's like, it just looks, it's just crap. So $99. So I may have, if you were trying to trick your husband, I may have just averted him having a stroke in text. But there you go. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store. This November, we must take a stand. Now is the time to stand for what you believe in, for what makes America great, and for truth and freedom. With Patriot Mobile, you can take that stand with America's only Christian conservative wireless company. From now until November 7th, switch to Patriot Mobile with their Stand Up for Freedom promotion. Get a free Samsung A11 phone with 2-year commitment, free Premier activation, and a free gift. Patriot Mobile takes a stand with a portion of every dollar going to support organizations that simply support the Constitution and your values. At 972 Patriot or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free Samsung A11 phone, free Premier activation, and a free gift. Or get a free month of service and $45 off any phone in stock. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972 Patriot. Stand up for freedom now with Patriot Mobile. That's 972 Patriot. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
We took Sidney Powell seriously. We had no intention of fighting with her. We've always respected her work. We simply wanted to see the details. How could you not want to see them? So we invited Sidney Powell on the show. We would have given her the whole hour. We would have given her the entire week, actually, and listened quietly the whole time at rapt attention. That's a big story. But she never sent us any evidence, despite a lot of requests, polite requests, not a page. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her. When we checked with others around the Trump campaign, people in positions of authority, they told us Powell has never given them any evidence either, nor did she provide any today at the press conference. Powell did say that electronic voting is dangerous, and she's right. We're with her there. But she never demonstrated that a single actual vote was moved illegitimately by software from one candidate to another. Not one. So why are we telling you this? We're telling you this because it's true. And in the end, that's all that matters, the truth. It's our only hope. It's our best defense. And it's how we're different from them. We care what's true, and we know you care too. That's why we told you. Maybe Sidney Powell will come forward soon with details on exactly how this happened and precisely who did it. Maybe she will. We are certainly hopeful that she will.
Oh, boy.
What happened with the vote counting this month? And at the polling places in Detroit and the polling places in Philadelphia and so much else actually matters. It matters no matter who you voted
for. So this is Tucker Carlson. He was talking about this whole thing with Sidney Powell last night. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. And I wanted to get her response in here, too. She was on Maria Bartiromo's show this morning on Fox. And this was what she said in response to that. Listen.
No, I didn't get angry with the request to provide evidence. In fact, I sent an affidavit to Tucker that I had not even attached to a pleading yet to help him understand the situation. And I offered him another witness who could explain the mathematics and statistical evidence far better than I can. I'm not really a numbers person. But he was very insulting, demanding, and rude, and I told him not to contact me again in those terms.
Guys, our parents are fighting. Where are we spending Christmas?
I know.
Where are we spending Christmas this year? Whose house? We're going to have two Christmases? That was my first thought, honestly, when I started. So welcome to the show, Dana Lash. I address this on radio, but I don't think hardly anybody else will because everybody's terrified to do it. And I don't know why. Like, I want to find out what's happening. But I think I want to know what affidavits. Was it the affidavit that Rudy Giuliani had at the presser? I'm not sure. We talked a little bit about this last hour. But I've known Tucker personally for a long time as well. We did election coverage in 2016 and the primaries and caucuses. And I've known him for a long time. And I don't dislike either of these people. I'm just wishing that we could at some point get through all the information to get us on the same page with it. So I wanted to, with this, Georgia just certified their results. That just happened. They sent out, Georgia's Secretary of State's office sent out a press release certifying the results for the November 3rd general election. The release says that the Secretary of State's office today certified the results for November 3rd and that they can be found on their website. And in certifying the results, they affirmed that all 159 counties have provided to the state the totals tabulated for each state and federal candidate. And they say that they affirm that the statewide consolidated returns for these offices are a true and correct tabulation. They did a hand count, and I think the hand count, they said, matched the machine count. And I know where there are counties or where there are some irregularities, I think they're still investigating that, which I don't know how that works if you're certifying anything. Right. But, okay. So this is what I told you last hour, and I want to look at the state-by-state issue here. I don't believe that the election was stolen yet, and I don't believe that it wasn't stolen yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, we're not done.
I like facts. I like to wait and see stuff. And as Jenna Ellis said yesterday, if they're presenting an overview of their case and then they want to go into court and take it into court after, that's when I'm a little curious too, because I was reading and I was actually trying to find where this had been contradicted by the campaign or whomever, but in Pennsylvania, didn't when Rudy Giuliani was when he was there to look at the or there before the court to talk about the discrepancies and irregularities, wasn't he saying that they weren't in court? He said in court that they weren't actually arguing fraud, but they wanted to audit the ballots, not just a recount. But if you're not arguing fraud, are you saying, I mean, it just immediately is going to pose the question, are you saying that it doesn't exist? Like, what? There's a lot of confusing information out there. Gosh, I wish we had some people who wrote things and could go and ask these people questions in all these areas, you know, and then like write about it in all together in one, like a printed on some paper or put it on a website, and they could write like a story about what they discovered when they were asking state and officials about this and campaign officials. I mean, it would be amazing, right?
Sounds familiar.
You know, and you could, what would you call it? You know what? You could call it, you know how they would press like typeset and stuff into parchment or paper? You could call it maybe like a press.
Ooh. I think we're onto something.
I just invented something. Look at me. So, all of this, I just have a lot of questions. Because, you know, Powell did make some big accusations. And I have questions. You know, I was sitting here just last night and this morning even trying to argue every side of this 6 ways to Sunday with myself and writing and putting together some notes on this. If the accusation that there was like commie money flowing in from Venezuela and flowing in from China and elsewhere, wouldn't intel agencies pick this up? I mean, didn't I just have a headline the other day about how like banking is now even like the banking system is even it's like a surveillance state because the international money that is coming in and out of the United States now, the threshold was lowered in terms of what's going to trigger an extra set of eyes to look at transactions and what isn't. So that's why I'm asking, like, wouldn't this kind of come up? But then you have to be careful, because however you answer that, you could find yourself in a little bit of a rhetorical sticky wicket. As in, someone, you could say, well, it's just because that's a Barack Obama had it staffed with all these progressive goons, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then wouldn't you just be arguing that, well, you could come back and progressives could say, well, then what are you saying? Trump didn't rectify it and clean it out and reset it? I mean, just so you got it's just I'm made of questions. Now, in Georgia, I know my friend Eric Erickson had written about how the campaign, they were in front of a judge. From what I understand, it was a Trump-appointed judge in court. Lynn Wood went in front of a Trump-appointed judge. And they were trying to get an injunction. And apparently, the determination was that Wood did not have the sufficient evidence required to substantiate the injunction. And then in Michigan, when they were looking at these affidavits that had been presented, when they were examining them, the claims were apparently dismissed because when they were questioning the affiance, when they were there, are the people who are making the affidavits, when they were questioning the affiance, it came out apparently that they had not attended training and they didn't know what was happening. And so that's why, and then it affected under like 1,000 votes. I'm just reading you what's been reported. And then it was like something that it affected under 1,000 votes and had no effect on the outcome. Which to me, sidebar, regardless of whether or not it affects the outcome, I want something to be done, you know? Because one day, if you keep not doing something about it when it doesn't affect the outcome, then what are you going to do when it does affect the outcome, you know? So that's, I always hate when that's, I don't think that was meant to sound as though that was an excuse that it was dismissed, but the way that I've seen it covered, it's sort of like that was the suggestion, right? And then in Arizona, they were dealing with the Sharpie on the ballots. And when they were examining these cases, the conclusion was that they were still valid and that the Sharpie didn't bleed through, so it didn't compromise the ballot. And then those individuals that had filed affidavits, when they went to be questioned, they ended up recanting. So I don't know. I don't have enough in front of me to say that I believe it was stolen, and I don't have enough in front of me to say that I don't believe it was. It just, you know, I like to operate off of things that I know and not speculate, especially over something as serious as this. A friend of mine, Dan McLaughlin, had written an interesting piece, and he was looking at some of the math on this as well. And I liked what he was saying, because he was encouraging people to not, depending on how everything goes, and if everybody certifies and then Biden's inaugurated and he becomes president, Dan McLaughlin's concern was we need to fight that administration, not the election of that new administration, which I get. But some very interesting points that he had made, because he said that the margin of victory when he was looking at the votes like across Arizona and Wisconsin and Georgia, he said the margin of victory in the presidential race across those three states, had Trump won all three, he writes, there would have been a 269-269 electoral college tie, and the House would have voted Trump another term to get Trump to 270. The margin expands to 107,587 votes across Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Georgia. Biden won each of those six closest states by at least 10,000 votes. At present count, he won Pennsylvania by over 83,000 votes and Michigan by over 156,000 votes. Fraud on that scale across multiple jurisdictions simultaneously is mind-bogglingly difficult to pull off without leaving significant footprints. And then he goes into races that he thinks were actually stolen, the 82 governor's race and a bunch of other races, apparently, which, again, it comes back to my point. Like, I just don't know. And I'm suspicious of anybody who says that they do or don't definitively, to be honest with you. Because I'm a suspicious, cynical person anyway. If I cannot prove that it is true, I am not comfortable telling you that I think it is or isn't. I just don't think that that's a good faith action, right? I mean, sometimes when you listen, I know that people who are on television and radio, I know that they, I think some of them corner themselves in certain definitive positions so that they can seem in the know. And I just think that's so false because I don't know. I mean, I think that especially now if Michigan or if Georgia's certifying, I just don't know how he makes getting into the White House a reality. But like I said, I don't have enough evidence to say that something was or wasn't stolen. I want to see everything pan out, and I want to see an audit. And if you're the same way, don't let people push you into one side or another. You have every right to say, I want to see it. You know, I think some of these attitudes from some of these politicians, I will always defend states determining their own elections, but I think some of these governors need to explain why in the hell they decided to use a machine like Dominion. It's the devil. Saying. So a lot of stuff is out there. And it's just, you know, it is what it is. And like I said, I'm just very reluctant to anybody who goes on one side or the other at this point. I don't know how they have the information to do that. I really don't.
We're not going to force you to wear a mask, but if you do head out, take the Dana Show with you by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So a New York printer, Custom 716 in Buffalo, New York, created window stickers featuring half of Governor Andrew Cuomo's face that you can put on the window at your business or home. And they want it to look, the whole purpose is so he peeks in at your Thanksgiving dinner. The owner of Custom 716, he's got like one of the best names ever, Dan Bacon, yes. He created the stickers after Cuomo introduced the mandate limiting indoor gatherings to 10 people ahead of the holidays. And he said he created them so New Yorkers can welcome Governor Cuomo as their 11th guest. That's actually pretty funny. I love that. And the New York Post has a bizarre story where makers of Grow Your Own Human Steaks, they're defending their meal kits, saying that it's technically not cannibalism.
Soylent Green is made out of people.
It's a DIY meal kit.
Soylent Green is people!
It's called Our Burrow Steak, and it is, they... You actually like grow it from your own cells. Oh, it is what? Nastiness. And it does not look like steak. It looks like biofilm. It's gross. That's, don't serve that at Thanksgiving. And a childhood friend of Ivanka Trump's wrote a tell-all essay about her and has it published everywhere. I'm not saying somebody is something that rhymes with snitch, but maybe. Stick with us.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec. Visit us at KelTecWeapons.com.
We're going to employ the Defense Reconstruct Act to be able to go out there and dictate companies build and do following things. We need much more testing. We need much more masking. We need gloves. I asked them each to go, and I asked the National Governor Association through the Governor Cuomo and the ones on the line to let us know what their shortages are, what they anticipate.
So Trump was doing? Okay. Yeah, that's what Trump was doing as well. He says, I like how, and welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. I like how, Trump has his, you know, his plan and his everything he's doing. And then Biden's like, I'm going to do, and then lists literally everything that Trump did. And then they act like there's never been a coronavirus task force before. What the hell was the press conference yesterday, you people?
Lifelong plagiarism.
Mm-hmm. Then there was this, the audio somebody 25. I don't know what the hell was going on here, y'all.
Governors need to be able to get funding when they need to bring their National Guard into play. And National Guard's going to...
What? Oh, we're great. Yeah.
Man.
What is the office of the president-elect? That's a make-believe thing. You're just, are we just like inventing stuff now? I am the office of the president-elect. Doesn't actually exist, but we got a sign made. Went over to Kinko's, made the sign. That's like a Parks and Recs kind of thing. Let's get a sign that says office of the president-elect. Where's your office? It's in the basement in Delaware. That's where it's at. Don't you kind of get the idea that they're setting up this like whole two presidents thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's weird. Like, why are you out there giving pressers about stuff right now? Right? Just like, just stop it with your fake office. Quit. Can we just like create random offices now?
Apparently.
Because I have so many. I want to be of the office of FAFO. That's what I am. And our seal is a fist. That's all it is. Oh my gosh. Just saying. I don't understand the whole make-believe office. I really don't. I do not. One quick note on the Georgia thing. And Kyle Becker, I thought, pointed this out incredibly well. He reminded everybody that the Associated Press back in 2017, their elections data was erased from a server. And the Associated Press hammered them. They said one expert was quoted as saying it is insidious and highly suspicious. So now there's just like no questions about this. That was when you had Hank Johnson. He said that the server wipe appeared to be, quote, willful and premeditated destruction of evidence by election officials. Georgia voters should be as outraged as I am, he said. And they said it was crucial to, they went to court. They said it was wiped clean by its custodians just after the suit was filed. So what changed that made it all better? Like, literally nothing changed. This is why this is so stupid. It's just so ridiculous. People have legitimate concerns. Stop it. Just quit. Facebook hates science, apparently. Jim DeMint had posted this. You know the Danish study that I told you about? And they found that masks don't actually, the study did not claim that they didn't protect people or users, rather. But it discovered that masks don't reduce the infection rates. And they said that surgical masks don't protect the wearer. So those are like different. And because they didn't look at N95s and they were specifically looking at whether or not you, the wearer of masks, are protected by wearing a mask. And I don't think they had a high opinion of surgical masks. We talked about that yesterday. So apparently if you share it on Facebook, and I think they're going to take down, Jim DeMint shared it on Facebook. I think they're going to take down his entire page because they said he violated their terms of service. It is literally a study. And I'm looking at a link for the fact check. I mean, this is why in the world would you not want a study performed by scientists shared on Facebook? And so they sent it to this place called Health Feedback. Oh, they sent it to this like random, the lady who is doing the fact check for this Health Feedback place. She is not a part. She isn't in infectious diseases. She's in like cell biology. And they said that, I mean, it looks really partisan. What they're arguing was what they say is misleading is an argument that the study didn't make, because they're trying to say that, well, it was designed to, the whole thing was designed to determine whether recommending people to wear a face mask reduces their infection by 50%. I mean, that's not what they were asked. That's not what they were looking at, though. This is so ridiculous. This big tech stuff is like, I'm totally throttled still on Twitter. I have like almost no interactions. it shows that none of my tweets have replies, anything like that. And all of my mentions on the browser and their mobile app, it shows that all my mentions are like 4 and 5 hours old and I don't have any new ones. But I have TweetDeck, which they stopped working together. And but somehow TweetDeck has an algorithm that gets around whatever, somewhat gets around whatever Twitter's doing. Because there are replies that show up on TweetDeck that I never see on Twitter, ever. Ever. And I think it does it with direct messages too. I don't know. So this whole thing is ridiculous. I'm so done with tech. Don't sit here and act like you're just like this bipartisan platform. Just be honest. Come out and be like, well, we're partisan douchebags. And we are so terrified of diverse thought that we have to create for ourselves a safe space and throttle everyone else's account when they say something that we don't like, but we can't actually articulate a good response against. That's the truth of it. That's the whole truth of it. I just, the whole thing. Yeah, they can't, if you can't even share that study, that's completely arbitrary. That's just arbitrary. So with the coronavirus, how the COVID holidays change our relationship with government. I was reading this piece. It's over at the Federalist. And I think a lot of people who were never suspicious of government before definitely are now. And they're really contesting. And people are really seeing just how much involvement government has in our lives. Now, this, I told you when we talked, every time this comes up, I always wonder whether or not vaccines and all this other stuff is going to be required for you to be able to go and do basic stuff, right? Are they going to make you have to have a vaccine for your kids to go to school or for you to go to work or go out and about? Well, this that was posted by, this is in Scottsdale, Arizona, CBS affiliate there. They say employers can require coronavirus vaccines with few exceptions. According to attorneys, they say if your employer requires it and you don't do it, then it's likely you'll lose your job.
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
No.
Kane's not having this.
No.
No? You disagree?
I disagree.
I mean, obviously.
And I push back.
They say that employers who have either a genuinely held religious objection to receiving vaccines or some underlying health condition that would make it impossible can receive a reasonable recommendation. So I will be fluid and say that part of my religious belief is that I don't have to, whatever the government tells me I have to inject, I won't do it. That's, I mean, if I can identify situation, if you can go out and identify situationally as a different sex, then, you know, you better damn believe that I'm going to, well, I also identify as someone who doesn't want to specifically take this vaccine if I don't want, or anything if I don't want to. Good heavens. I mean, that's, well, and here's the other thing. So there, this also, if you look at the other side of this, couldn't this be kind of like risky? Because if say that somebody is required to by their employer and then something goes sideways and they get sick or there's like a real serious issue that develops as a result of it, then wouldn't they, isn't that a workers' comp issue?
Yes.
Oh, so see, there's the hang up there. But hey, if we lose the Senate in Georgia, they'll just executive order that. Or they'll just ram that through House and Senate. I promise you, they'll look at that and be like, okay, yeah, we'll just handle it like this. We'll just handle it this way. Yeah, that would be a massive workers' comp issue. Yeah, that Danish study, we went over this, it was in the Annals of Internal Medicine. It was really, I mean, I really was reading this the night before. It's a really good study. They looked at three different places across the world. Thousands of people were participating. So why Facebook would corporately censor this is kind of ridiculous. Now, there was a piece that was written by a police officer that I think is really good. And I might put up on the website. Your next newsletter should be probably Monday morning. But this was really great. It was from an Orange County sheriff, as I understand, on the limited stay-at-home order that California's Governor Newsom had pushed into effect. Because now everybody's on a serious lockdown. They can't really do anything. their home order is kind of ridiculous. It's designed, they say, to reduce opportunities for disease transmission. So 10 p.m. to 5 a.m., like what Ohio did. And non-essential, they're looking at like social activities and gatherings, because I guess that's where they're saying that, I don't know what the science is behind that, but they're saying that that's where these are being contracted at. But there was a study in the Wall Street Journal that came out that said people actually don't know where the hell they're actually contracting any the virus. So they have this, order out. And what's really cool is that this sheriff comes out and he writes this whole editorial about it. He's anonymous, though. And he's a patrol officer. And he's talking about, because the Orange County Sheriff in California issued a statement from Sheriff Barnes. And the tweet said, earlier today, the Orange County Sheriff's Department became aware of a limited stay-at-home order that Governor Newsom's office ordered to go into effect Saturday, November 21st. That's just tomorrow at 10 p.m. And they say that throughout the pandemic, Orange County Sheriff's Department has taken an education-first approach with regard to the public health order. And they say, we are currently assessing the action by the governor. At this time, due to the need to have deputies available for emergency calls, deputies will not be responding to requests for face coverings or social gatherings. Only enforcement. Thank you. Gatherings only enforcement. They're not going to answer those calls. That's awesome. And this one police officer, because there have been a number of departments openly saying, yeah, we're not doing this. Especially, because weren't those all the same people that wanted to defund these police?
Exactly.
Now you want them to go and, I'm going to tell on you, you're not wearing your face mask. And now they're going to call the cops to come out? And so he writes, this officer, he writes about how typical calls slowed under lockdowns and how he's basically, no, I'm not going, we're not going to be arresting people. We're not going to be responding to this stuff. We're not going to arrest you for having a Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, he writes, if the police are called on your Thanksgiving get-together, you'll most likely not know it or get a polite knock on your door. The officer will probably enjoy the smell of a home-cooked meal and be glad others are enjoying Thanksgiving after a year like 2020. And if you aren't scared, invite the officer in for some turkey and stuffing. Tip, I like dark meat. That was pretty good. All right, we got more in store, folks. And we have Florida Man on the way as well. We're going to talk to a sheriff of my home county coming up next hour. Because in my home state of Missouri, some of the leaders there, like the county executive of St. Louis County and some others, they're getting sassy with people. Sassy with three S's.
2020 sucks, right? Don't let the source you get your info from suck. Get The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man. So a Florida man, after he was burglarizing vehicles in Naples, Florida, decides to order a Lyft as his getaway ride. So he was robbing all these vehicles in Naples. 19-year-old Markinson Telesnord.
Okay.
Was arrested, charged with burglary Wednesday of unoccupied conveyance, grand theft, petty theft. And when he was done, he actually had called, got a Lyft driver to come and get him. And they detained him, and then a Lyft driver arrived to pick him up, which was kind of, you know. Apparently, he did that with a stolen credit card as well. So he is in Collier County Jail. Oh, man. Now, what do we know about manatees? You don't touch them. Like, I don't even know if you can legally look at them in Florida. I mean, who knows? David Beatty is a proprietor of a charter fishing business, and he was caught on video touching a manatee with a fishing rod. So now he got in trouble. He got cited, and he has community service. And he's like, I would never hurt one. He said he was trying to help it. He said it had a fishing lure stuck to its back. And there was an overhead drone and it caught what he was doing. And of course, all these armchair animal rights people were like, I mean, I love animals, but if you're just seeing something out of context, shut up. So he accepted and he was really upset. His voice was shaking when he was in court. And the judge was actually like kind of flummoxed, says Tampa Bay Times, as to why a minor case was before him, because he was a U.S. district judge. And he was like, well, your mistake wasn't like bad. He didn't hurt the animal, but the guy said that he was doing it because he had something stuck in his back and he was trying to get it off his back. And all the drone saw was this guy poking the manatee with a pole. And the guy's a, you know, he runs a fishing charter. And the prosecutor didn't seek jail time, but she asked for a $2,000 fine. What? Who's, I mean, come on, people. There is some nuance here. He wasn't doing it to be ignorant. He was helping this thing out. By the way, did any of these people screaming at this guy? Did any of y'all try to find to help that manatee? No, the manatee with the thing stuck on its back?
Nope.
Nobody hates sea cows. All right. So, just saying. All right, so we have more in store coming up. Let me tell you what we got. We have the latest with election stuff, and we're also going to talk about, so what are you going to do for Thanksgiving if you get a knock on your door, huh? And they see your Cuomo window clean. Stay with us.
So many people across this country are denied the right to build a biological family because they've been poisoned by their own water. We can't talk about climate unless we're talking about the rights of young people to have a habitable planet. Unless we're talking about the rights of working class people to have a job that guarantees them dignity. And it's only bold federal action that can guarantee these things.
It's not federal action.
That's not any of those things that she said. I don't even have to tell you guys who that was, right? Run neighborhood crazy lady. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, good heavens. She's real. She wants to build up that squad so she can have herself a girl gang, and then they can do girl gang stuff. Welcome to the show. Third hour, Dana Lash, danalash.com. I almost spit protein drink all over my monitor. I'm going to come back to her soundbite here, but this. So what happens is, like, we're getting ready to do the show, and I'm looking at, you know, okay, I'm going to play this soundbite, maybe this segment, maybe I'm not going to, maybe I'll revise some stuff. And damn Babylon Bee. They have this like Photoshop picture of this turkey in a lab coat, and it's at a podium with the blue curtains behind it. And it says, the tweet says, "We must cancel Thanksgiving," says CDC scientist who looks suspiciously like a turkey in a lab coat. And I don't know why, but it just got me. And we're like getting ready to start the show, and I see this come by on my timeline on Twitter because I had something over tweet deck, but I saw something come up, and I saw the picture, and I was like, the heck is that? So turkey in a lab coat, yes, I'm going to look. And I just about lost it. It took everything I had to just like talk. That's we were in a professional outfit here, guys, you know, where the host is routinely distracted by animals and turkeys and lab coats. Oh man. Excuse me. All right, so that's really 2020, though. That is peak 2020. So back to the AOC soundbite here. None of that is right. What's it like to just go out and say anything that you want to and know that media is not going to fact check you? You know, just to randomly say some stuff. Well, you know, I mean, it's what did she say? Like, climate change is the racism's. I don't know. Who knows even? It's a race and gender issue. Because what is the science that, I mean, maybe there are a couple of cases of people who are poisoned and it affects fertility, but it's like so rampant that the only way we can stop it is if we give you all of our money.
Right.
How does,
$2 trillion.
Yeah, it's going to cost $2 trillion to, why is the, so when we were, I was looking at some of the math that was done for the, for instance, the coronavirus stimulus bill. Which Nancy Pelosi won't even discuss unless there's a blue state bailout. And it's not fair to ask taxpayers in Texas or Florida or, you know, anywhere else to foot the bill for the malfeasance of Democrats in blue states when they went through all their money and they're now in the red. And they've done this for like decades. That's not fair to demand we pay for your state. That's taxation without representation. And we already had a war over it. And I'm not saying there will be a boog if you keep trying that stuff, but so this, what was I saying? She's so damn crazy. I just immediately, it's just like, it's just, so.
Just their narrative of.
I can't believe that my job is to talk about somebody like this.
Right. Hand over multiple trillions of dollars and all the problems we've been talking about.
Yes. The stimulus thing.
Yeah.
Do you know that if you went and looked at just like at the payroll of, you know, combined collectively of these states, it doesn't actually add up to what the amount of money that they were. So why not then just do, I mean, if you're going to do like a stimulus bill, I'm just, you know, that's kind of an aside to this. But really, again, this was the girl who put cow flatulence legitimately in what she had on her website, because I took screenshots of it on her website on like the .gov, right? I just don't trust someone like that or like this. Audio somebody 21. This is not science. Listen.
Climate action is tied to reproductive justice. Because we can't.
The hell is reproductive justice?
Water without.
The hell is that? Let's Google. Do, 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 do. Thank you. We're Googling reproductive justice. What is this crazy word? Reproductive justice.
Let's see what Google says.
I don't know. Maybe my internet's not working.
I'd only bet $1 on this answer. Because I don't really know.
Well, my internet's not working, so I can't actually look it up. There we go. Okay. So it is the reproductive justice, the human right to maintain personal bodily autonomy, have children, not have children.
Wear mask, not wear mask.
Because
that's my body, my choice.
No, that doesn't count.
What?
Doesn't count.
What? Why wouldn't that count?
Why are you racist?
Oh, man.
Why don't you go poke a manatee? So, that was a story based on last time of this guy who wrongfully was accused of hurting a manatee when he was trying to get a fishing lure out of its back. I did not realize that we didn't have that.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I wasn't told that I had to have kids or not have kids.
So the body autonomy, they're against being forced a vaccine then? Is that?
Yeah, probably not.
Is that what they're getting at? No.
No, but masks. Oh. I love the argument that I get to do whatever I want with your taxpayer dollars as it relates to, you know, going to Planned Parenthood or anything else. But I'm my body, my choice. Also, you should be forced to wear something over your face. Right. Not how that works. That's such a BS phrase. It's a stupid phrase. It's stupid. I just think of like the ovaries as a scale of justice. That's how I view it. Like what? That's the image that comes into my head. Can you imagine? There are people who study this. You know why? One of the reasons why we got crazy college debt, not only because Democrats nationalized everything, all the loans, the loan process, is because people are like, yes, I'll spend six figures to get a degree in women's studies. Yes, I received my doctorate in vagina. That's basically what it is. Get mad. So the what the hell does this have to do with the changing weather? Yeah.
No, that's a joke.
I just don't even know. I just can't. When I try to break down her responses, I just can't. It's too funny. It's just,
climate action is tied to reproductive justice.
How though? With jute, that jute string that you get at Crate and Barrel with that branch on a string. That's what it is.
It's tied to it.
Is she literally talking about the umbilical cord?
But where does that go?
I don't know.
It's rooted into climate change. Climate change is a belly button. Wow, where did this go? This, by the way, that Crate and Barrel stick that Rachel just had up, yeah, which is a real thing, even though I know everybody's sending it to their husbands and asking for response and posting the funny remarks, that's actually a real product on their site, because I went and looked at it on their site myself, and I actually didn't perform the action of putting it in the cart to see if a pop-up wouldn't go, ha-ha, where nobody's this stupid. That didn't happen.
For $99.
$99.
Though, I mean, should come with a squirrel or something.
This is like the marketing version of AOC. I don't know how else to put it. $99. Would you like something rustic? All you people with, you know, those kinds of trees in your yard, what are you missing out on? $100. That didn't even include tax and shipping. Oof. I don't understand what she's talking about here. It's tied to reproduction. obstructive justice. There's like this thing that progressives love to do. They love to attach justice onto random phrases like this. Audio soundbite 19, the environmental justice. What?
So our demand here is to make sure that we keep this promise, that we follow through on a visionary, absolutely unprecedented $2 trillion plan. It's not just about money, but also it's one of the first presidential plans to honor the treaty rights of Native people. It's one of the first rights to make sure that we have environmental justice front and center. So that we make sure that we make up for redlining, that we make up for Flint, that we make up for Baltimore, that we make up for lead in the pipes across this country.
Mm.
Those are Democrat cities.
Hmm.
Weird.
Hmm. All Democrat cities. Yep. What is environmental justice? One cloud did something bad to another cloud, and they went to cloud court. The phrasing and just the made up words of all this stuff is. And then you have, who is this? Representative Khanna. This, by the way, this is the squad. This is the future of the Democrat Party. This is they were all yelling about the Green New Deal, and they were mad because James Clyburn said people like you basically caught all these progressives. This is Ro Khanna, and they, a Democrat out of California, and it is said that one of the reasons they performed so abysmally in House races is because of the squad rhetoric like this from the squad. This is the California representative talking about the Green New Deal, and oh my gosh.
And I think we have to make very clearly the argument that a climate policy is a policy that's good for the economy. The fastest growing jobs in the country are solar panel installers and wind technicians and energy efficiency manufacturers. And you know where these jobs are? These jobs just aren't in California or New York or Massachusetts. Turns out these jobs are in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan. And so when they say that...
So I'm looking at the fastest growing occupations, and they say wind turbine service techs. This is BLS, U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, is one, followed by nurse practitioners. So wind turbines are ugly. Can we just have that conversation? Look at this. Look at these beautiful planes and open skies.
There's a lot of petroleum products, too. If you think about it, that there has to be the lubrication of such moving parts.
What do the vibrations in the ground do?
I don't know.
To say anything about all the birds they butcher.
Right.
Good heavens. Look, if you want to do the alternative energy thing, that's fine. You ain't doing it with my tax dollars, though. Like hell. Mm-mm. And then you have, what is anti-economic? They say it's anti-economic. They don't know what they're talking about. Be specific. What? Be specific. You mean where it's like you're just talking, you want to use the Green New Deal as wealth redistribution? As actually labor income redistribution? Let's put it like that. Don't use the phrase wealth redistribution. It's income redistribution.
Right.
You were going to make a point.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say Senator Markey in Cut 16 talks about this Green New Deal will.
By the way, he used to be considered kind of moderate.
I know.
Moderate, but you know what I mean. Listen.
Last few years, he's gotten crazy. But
Call the Green New Deal socialism. And you know what our answer is? What do you call 100 years of tax breaks for the oil and the gas and the coal industry? And what we're saying is, give us the same breaks for
you do have them,
solar and all electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids and battery storage technologies.
I guess he doesn't understand how petroleum plays into today's economy. I don't think he gets the idea. He thinks that apparently they're even, like the oil industry and this effort with solar and wind is somehow an even game.
There's literally an entire government website that is dedicated to exemptions for alternative energy, tax exemptions and tax credits and everything else.
Lots of them.
So what he just said was actual feces, but shaped into words. That's a true story. We have more on the way. And a lot still to touch on. I'm going down my list as we round up this Friday, as we wrap this all up. We'll get into some of the, this is a very interesting story. Data showing how BLM Antifa riots led to an overall crime increase. We have some data on that. And we're also going to talk with the sheriff of my home county, because he apparently, the St. Louis County executive was going at him because he went out to Bartolino's. He went and had himself an Italian dinner.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
A YouTuber crashes his dad's one-off 3.4 million car I can't pronounce. What is it called? And we have, like, no internet here, so I can't even really open the story. Pagani Huayra? I don't know. I don't even know what the car looks like, because I just see a crashed car. It's just total. I mean, it is total. The whole end of it's ripped off.
3.4 million.
Yeah. So this one, and this was in Dallas. So this YouTuber was involved in, good heavens. It's a, like a, I can't even say this. Huayra. It's in shambles. And he was on Instagram and he was like speeding down the road and he ended up like, he was doing stuff with it, ended up wrecking it. And then he's like, well, blank happens. That's what he told the camera. He's a teenager. Beat his A double snakes. Oh my gosh. I would just, I can't even imagine. Why would you even let a kid, a teenager, drive a car like that? Why? Human aging process is biologically reversed in what is being hailed as a world first. Scientists in Israel show they could turn back the clock in two key areas believed to be responsible for frailty and ill health that accompanies growing older. And at the ends of chromosomes, they say those shorten, causing DNA to become damaged and cells to stop replicating. And then they actually found a way to address this. So they're testing. Man, they're going to be rich if they like make some anti-aging thing for the, you know, market. Good heavens. Stick with us because we're going to talk to a good guy cop.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
For those who are defying the public health orders, I hope that you will think about the safety of your employees and your patrons and the people that come to your businesses. And I don't know why anyone would want to eat at a restaurant that doesn't follow health orders. By going against public health experts, you are telling our public health workers that you don't appreciate or respect the sacrifices that they are making to keep you safe and your family safe.
Now, we mentioned this. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. We mentioned this the other day when that presser was held, because that's in my home state of Missouri. And we've been seeing this in counties all across the country. The St. Louis County executive there, Sam Page, that's what he was saying about individuals who, I guess, are still patronizing restaurants that, you know, heaven forbid, they follow health protocol and try to make a living and keep their doors open, which is, I mean, I really took exception to his really broad statement there, wherein he says, I don't know why anyone would want to go and eat at a restaurant that isn't following health orders. Well, no, they're following health orders. And there isn't, I mean, I've yet to see the science that backs up how even, you know, not even a significant number of these infections are from dining in restaurants and things of that nature. I mean, I also think that restaurants, they're looking out for their bottom line. And I trust small business owners that have everything on that line to make determinations about people and how to best serve them following these health guidelines than some of these bureaucrats who don't follow these orders themselves. And the idea also that people are risking other individuals' lives by eating at these restaurants, I'm just not going to be lectured to by any bureaucrat who's telling me that it's riskier to follow the health guidelines as laid out by the CDC and eat inside a restaurant, that's riskier than shutting down the largest economy in the world. I just don't buy that. Now, when I was looking at all of this, I ran across this tweet from Sheriff Dave Marshak. He is sheriff of Jefferson County, Missouri, which is the county in which I was born and raised. And he had, a lot of people were tagging Sam Page in this tweet that Sheriff Marshak had wrote. He wrote this on November 17th. He had a picture of the Bartolino South sign. And Kane and I know exactly where Bartolino's is. And he said, another fine dinner at Bartolino's. And I couldn't like that tweet enough. And I just thought, I loved what he had to say. And he's one of many sheriffs and other law enforcement agencies across the country who think that it's actually risky to also go house to house like this and peer in and see how many people are getting together and go and bully these restaurants and all this other stuff. So he's definitely not in the minority on this. And Sheriff Dave Marshak joins us over the phone now. Sheriff, it's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Well, thank you for the invitation. It's my first opportunity to appear on your store, so or on your show. So thank you very much.
Well, of course. We're glad to have you, and we appreciate what you do in serving and protecting the community. And, yeah, as soon as I saw that sign, I was like, Bartolino's. I haven't been to Bartolino's in so long, so I hope you had a good meal there.
You know, the Saraceno family in Bartolino's has been a staple in the St. Louis area for a long time, mm-hmm. along with mm-hmm. some of the other famous, you know, families from the St. Louis area that own, you know, numerous restaurants, Seiberg's and the Giannino families. And they're all going through the same situation right now is my little way of showing support. I've been visiting those restaurants for decades now. And as you shared, there's a lot of different issues with somebody limiting the availability for patrons these days.
Yeah. And I like what you had to say as well, because you said, you know, it's okay to believe in freedom. This is what you tweeted on November 19th. It's okay to believe in freedom and the Constitution and to have a balance of liberty and an understanding of economic security. And you added, since heads might be exploding right now, I'll add that it's also okay to challenge leadership, whether it's a county sheriff or a county executive. And then hashtag it's okay. But that's it. And every restaurant that I've been to, Sheriff, they've all practiced the same guidelines. And but I worry about the consequence that comes with squeezing our small businesses even more when they're just trying so hard to dig out and keep doors open. Because, you know, when you have a lack of jobs, and when after a year like this, I was just reading off statistics about the increase in crime across the country. I mean, this creates an even more adverse situation, and you could even have more trouble as a result of the treatment versus the virus. What are your thoughts on this? And what do you say to those people who, you know, they have reasonable suspicion, they're not Chicken Little over it, and they want to go out and support their businesses? What do you say to them if they're worried about how law enforcement would react to that or enforce it?
Well, you mentioned a couple of different things there, so I'll touch on a few of them. You know, to go back to what you said earlier, look, we need to find that balance of protecting our personal liberties with both social contracts for public health and legitimate concern for economic security, as you suggested. It's a problem. While we have one of the largest economies in the world, there's not enough money to prop up everybody and make everybody whole, including those business owners. And so I think that has to be a serious consideration. In terms of overall public health and hygiene, I will tell you that I've visited these restaurants. They have staff there making sure everything is clean. I feel more comfortable sitting in a restaurant with all the measures in place for my personal health than I do going to large box stores and some of the gas stations around town. So I will tell you there has to be that balance. And then in terms of enforcement, and I think I speak for many of my peers around the country, is that, again, we are in the law enforcement business. This is a public health issue. We are not the mask police. We're not going to go around and enforce a situation that may be constitutionally not okay and limit freedoms. And so I think there has to be that pushback to come full circle is what you said. There has to be a healthy disrespect, and I say that healthy. There has to be a healthy disrespect for government, and whether that is a county executive or your sheriff or a governor or a mayor, there has to be a little bit of pushback so we can keep our freedoms.
Yeah, my parents were talking with Sheriff Dave Marshak of Jefferson County, Missouri, a county I was born and raised in. And my parents still are in Jefferson County. And my mom works in St. Louis County. And she says it's just incredibly different. Just the way it feels if you're out and about, if there's something that you have to do, if you have to go to the pharmacy or something of that nature, because, you know, those two counties, and we were playing the St. Louis County Executive's audio soundbite there. But it the lockdowns, and we've heard from Dr. Fauci, we've heard from CDC, who's even said that lockdowns can't be just like the only thing that people do as a way to control this. But yet there are a lot of localities that I don't know. Is it because this is such an unpredictable virus and they don't really know what else to tell people? Is this just like giving the appearance of trying to be, you know, kind of proactive or responsive to it? Because there are a lot of medical professionals that are out there saying you can't really use this as the sole way. And that kind of seems like the sole way, to hear the way Sam Page discusses it, to control this. What do you think?
Well, so a couple of different things. Number one, I don't know if anybody really knows, because we've seen it change so many times. We've seen the recommendations change so many times. I've got a couple of doctors in the family, and the way they describe it to me is there's a couple of different models. And, you know, some of them are choosing to follow model one as opposed to model three. And so I think there's a lot of ambiguity in terms of what's been learned thus far in terms of transmission. And because of that, I don't know that we'll ever find common ground in terms of how to approach it. Moving forward with us, you know, let's be honest about law enforcement's role in the past, and there's a lack of trust in some parts of our communities with law enforcement, and I will tell you that I will stand strong when it comes to protecting the Constitution, and we are not going to go down that road where we are the mask police and doing things that are not consistent with building public trust.
Yeah, especially in an era where everybody's been calling, not everybody, but some people have been calling to, including some elected politicians, to defund the police, which is weird because now, you know, they first went to defund the police. Now we need the police to be the mask police. That's not really what was, you know, for what I understand. I don't think that people go and enter the force and do the training and wear the badge so that they can go around and basically it's like, you know, a deputized Karen. I mean, that's not what y'all do.
Dana, that's brilliant, because, look, that's the fact. And, you know, it's the most liberal politicians that spew that nonsense about defunding the police. And now they're the same ones suggesting that we would go out and enforce their unconstitutional policies. So, you know, I couldn't have said it better myself. I don't see that happening. And again, you know, our role is to build community trust, enforce the Constitution. Mm-hmm. We were sworn to uphold it, and we'll do that.
So, and we're talking with Sheriff Dave Marshak of Jefferson County, Missouri, and they've had Missouri. It's interesting, my home state, that all the different counties are approaching this differently, and it can be a little tricky for someone if you live in one county, you work in another county. Last question for you, Sheriff, and we appreciate what you do in your time today. What do you tell families out there that they see these suggestions from the CDC, and then they hear, you know, remarks like, you know, for the ones that we played from Sam Page at the start of this segment, the St. Louis County executive, and they're wondering, well, should we have Thanksgiving with the grandparents this year, or what, should we just stay home and just turn off our lights and stay in our house? Like, what do you tell those people who are just bombarded by all of this stuff, and they just want to try to have one good thing happen this year and maybe see some people that they haven't been able to see? Like my parents, I'm going to see my parents, my kids are going to see them for the first time in a year. What would you tell those folks?
You know, number one, let's follow some basic health protocols and proper hygiene. Let's wash our hands, maintain social distance when you can. I mean, there's some basic practices that I think that we can all implement, which would, you know, possibly make everybody else safe. So, listen, I agree with that. I've done some quick little short bits with our Department of Health. I encourage proper hygiene, and I want everyone to be safe and healthy. At the same time, I'm going to make the choices that work out for me and my family, and I encourage everybody else to do the same. And we are not going door to door. We're not going to investigate how many people are at a family gathering. That's not our role or responsibility in law enforcement. And so I would just encourage everybody to make their own decisions to maintain their own health and do what they think's right.
There you go. Amen to that. Sheriff Dave Marshak, boy, are we grateful for you. I know my parents are big fans, so we appreciate all you do to protect and serve. And have a happy Thanksgiving, Sheriff.
Yeah, have a happy Thanksgiving, and to you and your entire staff, thank you very much.
Of course. Thank you so much. God bless. That's Sheriff Dave Marshak of Jefferson County, Missouri. Yeah, everybody likes him. He's very popular sheriff. Well, that's kind of what happens, you know, when you work with the community and you respect things like the Constitution, you know, just rights, things like that. You know, you're not shaming people. You're not up there like an older male Greta Thunberg. How dare you? Telling people, you know, trying to shame them from going out and helping businesses. So there you go. I love that we have, and I do hope that y'all take some positive feeling away from that. There are a lot of really good men and women who serve and protect our communities, and they're not, there's more, actually, I'll put it this way, the amount of people, and they're usually like police chiefs, very rarely, I think, are they sheriffs, like accountable to the people. I actually, there are only a few law enforcement heads that are even begrudgingly on board with enforcing stuff like this. You have to look to, and so take comfort in that. That's good. And I'm glad that so many people pay attention. Sheriff's elections are important, y'all. All right. As we wrap up this week's show, or this week's broadcasting, we will give you up today in stupidity coming up. And then I think the next newsletter you'll get from me will be probably early Monday morning, if not Sunday evening, unless something huge happens, and then all bets are off.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
So Jeff Zucker is apparently going to leave CNN early next year. That headline coming in. Mm-hmm. And then y'all know Sia. I like her early stuff the best. I know I am. I just turned into Kane. Sia is facing backlash because she has a movie out, a movie that's coming out, a trailer. Just she's like was trending on Twitter for some reason, and I was like, why is this trending? Kate Hudson's in it, and she cast Maddie Ziegler, that dancer that she's worked with a million times. And this is how it's played. They cast Maddie Ziegler, a non-disabled actor, to play a disabled character. That's called acting. It's called acting. And, like, the rage mob is after her. They are after her. Like, why didn't you cast this person for your part? Why didn't you cast, like, a disabled person? They did the same thing to Bryan Cranston in that one movie.
Yeah.
What was that? The Upside? He was a guy who he had been in an accident and he was paralyzed from like the neck down, and they got mad because they didn't actually you know, Bryan Cranston also has national name recognition and he was being counted on to help carry that movie. So that might have had something to do with it. And people know who that Maddie Ziegler kid is, so that might have something to do with it too. And so Sia went off and she goes, the character is based on my neuroatypical friend. He found it too stressful being nonverbal, and I made this movie for him and his mother. And she, I mean, at least, you know, good for her that she's, you know, holding her ground. But gosh, can people stop? So there's like a new thing called ableism.
What?
They're accusing her of ableism.
Oh my gosh.
Ableism. Mom.
It's a bunch of bullism.
I'm just done. We deserve to have Crate and Barrel sell us a stick on a string for $99. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh my gosh, really?
Somehow tying the climate deal to racial justice and climate justice. I don't know. Let's listen
climate
to what
justice.
She has to
say.
Climate action is tied to reproductive justice. Because we can't talk about poison water without talking about how so many people across this country, are denied the right to build a biological family.
What? Wait a minute. Wasn't BLM against the biological
family? Yeah, like the nuclear, whatever. Yeah,
the nuclear
they were.
Family?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, she's...
DanaLash.com. Subscribe to that newsletter. We will be back together on Monday. Have a great weekend. God bless.